In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There are generally, two topics about which it is not polite to speak of. You already know them, right? Religion and politics, indeed. And this because most people have pretty strong opinions about both of those things. And what happens is they end up arguing about them. But not us, right? No, no. That happens way up north somewhere, not down here in God's country. And so with another election coming up, Americans are becoming more and more ardent about those issues, those things that are important to them. So whether you're a donkey or an elephant, whenever you push that button to vote or however you do it, you write it in, you do so hoping that your candidate will be the one who's elected and he'll go about or she'll go about fixing everything that's wrong with our great but very ailing nation. And quite certainly for Christian people, during this time, they begin to wonder and consider what relationship there is between what they believe in matters of their religion and what positions they are to take politically. And I can feel you guys cringing up just a little bit about your pastors mentioning voting and politics. It'll be all right, I promise. The reason that we kind of get like this, even though there is a very clear distinction between the Holy Church and the state, the reason we get like this is because religion, the Christian religion, it's not just about the life of the world to come, right? It's about the life that we live right now and how to be good, virtuous people in society. But Christians, no matter what country they are born in, what nation, we always have a dual citizenship. We are born into this world as citizens of one nation or another, depending on where our parents were when we were born, the time, or various other conditions. But we've also been baptized into Jesus, and that makes an enormous difference. We've been brought, adopted, grafted in to the kingdom of God. And that makes us also citizens of heaven. There's two kingdoms, and only two kingdoms, in God's ordered creation. Right? That's what Jesus is teaching us in the gospel today when he says, render unto Caesar the things that belong to Caesar, and to God the things that belong to God. So two kingdoms, the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of the world, or the city of God and the city of man, as St. Augustine would have it. And we can't make the very common mistake of saying that one is good and the other is wicked, right? One is virtuous, the other is evil. That's a very common mistake that's made today. There's two kingdoms established by God, and both of them are good. Both of them are good. Why? Well, because both of these kingdoms are established, ordered, and ruled over by the Lord God Almighty. They are not identical, and they have very, very different purposes in the world. Hopefully, they don't ever work against each other. They don't butt heads with one another. Hopefully, that's the way it will be, which they have, by the way. They have in the course of human history. And when they have and they do, it's displeasing to the Lord. So, what's the difference? You need to know this. What's the difference? And just briefly, I want to talk about it. Both of these kingdoms God has established on this earth to accomplish his good, his merciful will. Both of those kingdoms are for that. But they operate, they go about it in different ways. The Holy Church God has established to reconcile sinners unto himself in the blood of Jesus Christ by preaching the gospel and rightly administering the sacraments. Rightly administering the sacraments. The state, on the other hand, or the earthly kingdom, the city of man, so says Augustine, God has ordained to protect human life from harm to administer his wrath, his justice, against those who do evil, and then to provide for his people to live peaceful and worshipful lives. Right? That's the purpose of the state. So an example of one kingdom sort of meddling in the affairs of the other was when the Holy Christian Church picked up the sword and fought the Crusades. The church cannot wield the sword. Right? We were just talking about this yesterday. The church cannot wield the sword. As much as we might want the church to wield the sword, the church does not pick up the sword. It is the state's duty to wield the sword and wage war, not the church's. Christians can and do rightly serve in the state's military, in the earthly kingdom. But it is not the church who has the authority to wage war ever. Our sword is the word of God, a much different and much more potent and powerful sword altogether. And let me also say that God doesn't just establish the state or the left hand of God for the sake of law and order, but also to accomplish peace and justice. Those are things that are dear to the Lord's heart. For the provision of the common good of all people, because he loves all people. Remember, God raised up Joseph, right? As second in command in all of Egypt, raised Joseph up for the express purpose of administering and distributing food during that terrible worldwide famine. And then in Isaiah today, what did we have? Did you notice something strange about King Cyrus? You ought to have. King Cyrus is king not of Israel. He's the king of Persia, for goodness sakes. A pagan Gentile is raised up by God and is called his anointed. Whew! God has taken Cyrus' right hand, the scripture says, to lead him and subdue the nations before him, the word of God. A pagan Gentile, he's taken Cyrus' right hand. And look at what the Lord says to Cyrus, the great king of Persia, in verse 4. For the sake of my servant Jacob and Israel my chosen, I call you by your name. I name you, though you do not know me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Right? For the sake of Jacob and Israel, my chosen, I call you. The kingdom of the state, or the civil government, however you want to say it, is God's chosen instrument, which he holds firmly in his left hand to provide and to care for you and me, for the common good, as I already said. Doesn't matter if my guy gets elected, or my guy is in office, or isn't. It doesn't matter. God knows what he's doing, even if we can't see it right now. All of human history is working towards and will culminate in the great day of the Lord Jesus Christ. God works all of history for his purpose. All of history. Not just the parts about it that we like. All of history. Because remember that one of the people saved under the famine, under Joseph's time in the government of Egypt, was Joseph's brother Judah, who was the great, 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 great grandfather of our Savior Jesus. All of history is under the rule of our Lord. With everything going on, it's easy to forget that all things work towards the good of them that love the Lord. It's easy to forget that. He is every second of every day working through the civil government to preserve his creation. And so thank God for civil government. Thank God for his left hand. Pray to him for our rulers, right? We're ordered to do that. We're commanded to pray for our leaders. Whether we like them or not, whether we voted for them or not, The race of Adam is fallen and flawed, and this is the same for politicians. Some might even say this goes doubly for politicians. And if it does, then how much more do they need the prayers of the children of the kingdom of heaven? How much more do they need our prayers? If Paul could straightforwardly tell the Christians at Rome to pray for and obey Caesar, and to submit to all earthly authorities, even as they would submit to God, then we can certainly pray for ours. In addition to all of this, God's word also says that we do not ever have the license to rebel against or to disrespect our leaders or to disobey them, save for one exception and only one. And that one exception is any time the civil government makes laws that interfere with or contradict the word of the Lord. Because we're no different than the apostles, and that we must obey God rather than men. And that even to the death, by the way. The state, the city of man, gets it wrong sometimes, just as the Holy Church does. Both have fallen human beings in them. And so there's going to be error in both. Just because a thing is deemed illegal by the government doesn't necessarily make it wrong. I mean, ask the Christians forced underground in communist Russia and they'll tell you. Nor does the government declaring something to be legal make it good and right and beautiful. And if they were given a voice, you could ask the 61 million children murdered in this country since 1973, but they weren't given a voice. The introit that was appointed for today is Psalm 121. Some of you probably don't remember the introit. So one of my favorite psalms, Psalm 121, we rarely use it here at Christ. Instead, we substitute the processional hymn for the introit. But I want to read it for you. It goes with the appointed readings for today. This is King David. He says, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall never slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore." Now, the first line of that psalm is oftentimes read wrongly, because it's often read as if the hills were the place from whence our help comes. I've read it that way many times, but that's not quite right. It's better understood as a question, because when David was writing this, he was looking out over all that was going on in the world. And he looked up to the hills, and what did he see there? Well, he saw what the government before him allowed to happen. He looked up to the hills, and he saw the high places and the pagan altars at which the people committed idolatry. But then David asks the question quite separately. "I look up on the hills, and I see all of these false gods, but from where does my help come? Where does my help come, Lord? I don't look to the pagan altars. I don't look to all of the false gods. I don't look to what's going on all around me. No. My help," he says, "comes from the Lord. He is my keeper. He watches over me, my coming in and my going out. He watches over all things concerning me." Look, I know, because I live in the same world that you do, that there is so much going on in our world right now. The year 2020 has been called a dumpster fire for a good reason. First, there was the pandemic. Then the riots started. Then we started biting each other's heads off politically. And all of this, by the way, on top of everything that we have to already go through in this life. It's been a rough year. But don't ever forget that in the midst of all of this turmoil and all of this upheaval, you are a child of the kingdom of heaven. You are made to be light, even in the deepest darkness. Don't forget that it was the state that allowed those pagan altars to be erected all around David, and that God nonetheless promises to guard and to hold him because he is David's keeper. And don't you know that in Jesus Christ, he is even more so your keeper than he was David? And even though you and I may live in this temporal life in a state of democracy, though who knows what the future will bring, we must never forget that we are first citizens under the monarchy of our King Jesus Christ. And whether you consider yourself an elephant or a donkey or anything else, do you know what you are first? You are a lamb. You are a lamb under the shepherdship of Jesus Christ, whose citizenship is in the kingdom of heaven, ruled over by the King who died to have you. And your place is with him in his kingdom forever. Live a life that reflects that. In the name of Jesus. Amen.